All right, now I got to get used to Brother Tom got right with God and got over there where he's supposed to be. Now Brother Jason's over here. All right, so Brother Jason, come read scripture for us if you would.
All right, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I saw, where are they? Back. Mark and Ella are somewhere around here with their brand new addition. It's good to see them this morning. And, of course, they came when Keith was out of town. I don't blame them. Anyways, great to see them this morning. Well, Matthew chapter 5. I was going to, one thing, man, I ran across this week. I thought this was a good thought, and maybe you all think it or not. But actually, it is a good thought. But, you know, I was thinking this week, Palm Sunday, we've got Easter coming up. You know, I am so grateful for my mom and dad pointing me to the cross. You know, I'm so grateful for somebody, for them and as a child. But then I know there are people in your life as well that pointed you to the cross. And I think this week, as you think about Palm Sunday and Easter, just go thank those people that pointed you to the cross and that pointed you to Jesus Christ. And, man, I'm so grateful for that. As I said last Sunday night, my dad never got over salvation and never got over being saved and being born again and being a child of the King. And it's so important to make sure that we thank those that appointed us, pointed us to the cross. Matthew chapter 5, we'll read verses 17 and 18. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for another time to come together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit here and, Lord, the singing already this morning, the special music. God, what a blessing already in this service, Lord, and Sunday school before, God. And we just thank you for a good place. And, Lord, a good place to come and worship you, get away from all of the craziness and evil in the world. And, Lord, God, come in here and worship a perfect Savior. And a risen Savior, Lord God. And we so thank you for that and the opportunity, Lord. Lord God, I don't know what others do without Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, that this church will be a beacon pointing those to Jesus Christ. And Lord, bringing those in, Lord, that aren't saved. And Lord God, going out, witnessing all the things that we need to do to bring those people to Christ and change mindsets, Lord, change hearts. Lord God, and that's how it's done, through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray that Lord, this church will serve as a beacon doing that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for things coming up, Lord God. We want, Lord, this to be a place that's alive, Lord, that has things going on, Lord, that Lord allows Christians, Lord, to get together and do things, God, that, Lord, be uplifting, Lord, and encouraging for each and every one of us, God. I pray that you be with the message, this morning, the message hour, Lord. We thank you again for this place. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. I appreciate, as always, our music this morning. And thank you for the special with Brother Casey, Miss Paula, and then Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. And we'll get into the message this morning. Last few weeks, we've talked about this, how much that Jesus knows what's going on. Of course, we know that He's God. He's the Son of God. But we talked about it a few weeks ago with Peter, and the same thing's true with us, that Jesus knew the future for Peter, right? Jesus knows. He knows what's coming this week, all right? He knows what it's going to be like for us day by day. We don't always know what's coming tomorrow. We can guess and we can predict, but Jesus knows, and He knew that with Peter. And in fact, He told Peter what was coming, and the same thing that He knows when it comes to us. Not only that, we talked about this, Jesus knew His own future. When He was here on earth, He knew exactly what He was going to have to go through. And again, we don't have that knowledge. And that's in many ways, that's a blessing that we don't. But Jesus did, and He knew what was coming, and yet He still went through with that and still came. And He knew, last we talked about, there's something He knew He wanted to get across to His disciples, and we talked about washing their feet and what He taught them through that is something, that lesson He really needed to get to them before He went to the cross. And this morning, I want to talk about this. We start here in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll go to several different passages. But the scripture that we just read says this. Jesus said in verse 17, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And it says in verse 18, that says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. No one else could do that. There's nobody else that has ever lived that could fulfill everything the law required. The Pharisees tried to trap him many times into doing something against the law. Of course, Satan tried to tempt him to get him to break the law. So that he would sin against God. And Jesus resisted that temptation. He didn't listen to what the Pharisees tried to tell him that he needed to do. He fulfilled the law. The law of God that God had put there in place, Jesus fulfilled all that. And so we think about this, as Jesus went to the cross, there are some things that Jesus knew. We know he knew what was coming. But something that he really knew, and I'm going to share with y'all this morning, go to Matthew chapter 26. We'll go to three different passages this morning, be our main passages. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 is preparing to go to the cross. And he has the Last Supper. We'll do the Lord's Supper here next week. And Jesus did that. He showed us that example here in Matthew chapter 26. And of course, he told Peter what was going to happen to him and how he was going to deny him, and went through that in Matthew chapter 26. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he's there in the garden, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, he knew what was coming. He prayed to his Father and said, Lord, if this cup could be taken from me, he knew what he's going to have to deal with. And so he finishes his prayer there at Gethsemane, and the disciples, those three, especially Peter, James, and John, are there with him. And so as he finishes that prayer, we come, of course, to those that have come to take Jesus away. Judas leads this group. And Jesus calls him his friend there in verse number 50. But why don't you go down to verse number 52. So Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. We're not told in this passage who it is, but in another passage, I believe it's in the book of John, tells us Peter's the one that drew his sword and cut off the ear of this servant. And Jesus, of course, heals that. In verse 52, it tells Peter to put up your sword, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Here's what Jesus knew. He knew this morning. It's true for us today, too. Jesus knew the scriptures must be fulfilled. He knew the scriptures had to be fulfilled. And so as they came to take him away, and they came to, and Peter tries to take on these that are trying to attack Jesus. He's going to protect Jesus. And Jesus, in rebuking Peter and telling him, hey, you put that sword up in verse number 53, he tells Peter this, is, don't you know I have the power to call down angels to take care of them? Jesus didn't need protecting. Jesus didn't need somebody to step. Now, it's great that Peter had been better off spending time being right with God so he wouldn't deny him instead of trying to protect him physically here. But Jesus didn't need any help in that regard. Jesus could take care of himself. In fact, throughout the scriptures, we won't turn there for time's sake, but you'll see several times where they wanted to take Jesus. Remember that? They gathered around him and were going to basically physically sort of had him on the edge of a cliff type area, and really seemed like all intentions of just pushing him off that cliff. And yet the Bible says Jesus walked right through the middle of him. Why? It wasn't his time yet. And there's other times that they we're going to take Jesus now. And Jesus, no, it's not my time yet. Nobody could take Jesus when it wasn't his time. That what had to happen in order for Jesus to give himself up is it. He knew the scriptures must be fulfilled. Jesus knew that. And so Jesus knows in this instance, he says, I have the power to call down these angels to take care of me. But, verse 54, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Jesus said, this is what has to happen. It must be that I go to the cross. It must be that they come and take me. And if I was to call down these angels, then scripture would not be fulfilled. The scriptures must be fulfilled. What was said in the Old Testament must take place here in the New Testament as Jesus is. This is how important. It was more important for Jesus, instead of saving himself,
What was more important is that the Word of God, the Scriptures, be fulfilled. It's more important than saving himself physically, than taking a different route than what had been laid out for him. No, the Scriptures were already in place. The Old Testament had already been written. The truth had already been given. It must be fulfilled. In verse number 56, for all this was done, that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. All was done. Jesus tells him in verse number 55, says, hey, I sat in the temple day after day after day, teaching, and yet you didn't take me. Hey, how come when I was in the temple, teaching things that again, when he was claiming to be God, remember how upset they got with him? Man, they were mad. I mean, they went after Jesus and really said something about him being an illegitimate child. They just really, really attacked Jesus because Jesus said he was God and Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, which he was. And Jesus tells him, hey, I sat there, I was teaching, and yet you wouldn't take me. But now you come out like I'm some sort of thief, some sort of robber, some sort of criminal. You know the reason that happened, he tells in verse 56, all this is done that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. The Scriptures of the prophets had all come true. So Jesus knew before he ever went to the cross, as he was, we think about it again, we don't know exactly the time, but imagine this, the week before Easter. So we're talking about just a few days before Jesus was going to the cross. He knew what had to be done, right? He knew the Scriptures that must be fulfilled, and this is sort of the time period he's in here, just a very short time before he goes to the cross here. And so he knew the Scriptures must be fulfilled. Then go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. So Jesus, before he ever went to the cross, as they came to take him, it had to be the right time for them to come get him. It couldn't be because they wanted to or they decided to. It wasn't because he couldn't defend himself. No, that was true. It was the time was right. The Scriptures must be fulfilled. And then look at John chapter 19. Verse number 28. Jesus is now on the cross. In fact, we're moments away in John 19:28 from Jesus dying on the cross. You think about what he's been through up to this point in verse number 28. He's already been beaten. He's already been, as the Bible tells us in Isaiah, that he was scarred beyond recognition, what they had done to him. And his flesh didn't even look like a man. They had beaten him. They had scourged him, the Bible says, with those whips. And they had done all this to his physically to his body. Of course, he had been forced for it as long as he could to carry his cross until Simon came and helped him when he could no longer carry it. And so physically, he was at a point where we're talking about on the brink of death physically. And so that's where he is as we get here to John chapter 19, verse 28, just moments, just seconds away really from Jesus dying and suffered so much, that crown of thorns upon his head, those nails that have been driven through his hands and through his feet. But look at verse 28. After all this, what they hadn't affected, of course, they could do his physical body, but not his mind and spirit. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. That there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, it's amazing to me on the cross. The Bible says there in verse number 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. All this was going on, yet Jesus knew exactly the right time when he was going to give up his life. Because there were things that had to be accomplished. You know why they had to be accomplished? Because they were in Scripture, all right? So there were things, as Jesus was on the cross, he was thinking about this has to be done, and that has to be done, and that has to be done, because that's what the Bible says is going to happen. And so it must be fulfilled. In fact, one of the last things he says here is, I thirst. Why does he say, I thirst? So they could bring him vinegar. Why was that important? Well, it tells us there in verse number 28 that the Scripture might be fulfilled. That was been told in the Old Testament. And so as he thirsted there on the cross and asked for that vinegar, and they gave him vinegar in that verse. If you have a reference Bible, you can look in your margins there and you can see all the verses that are referenced, many of those in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms and other places as well, that the Bible gives us that is fulfilled in this passage. As Jesus said, also interesting here now, this is not necessarily an Old Testament prophecy, but we talk about this sometimes on Mother's Day, but look at verse number 27. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus also took care of mom, all right? That's something that had to be done. As he's gone through everything, in his mind, he knows, I've got to take care of my mother before I give up the ghost here. And so he says this, I thirst. And then what happens in verse number 30? Jesus, when he had received that vinegar, what did he say? It's finished. Why was it finished? Because everything that Jesus had been sent here to do, he had accomplished, all of it. And there's nothing left for Jesus to do. He had done all that God had sent him here to do. God sent his son, right? He sent his son here to die on the cross for us, and he had fulfilled everything that was said in the Old Testament. And so as you study the Word of God, and as reading back through a book this week a little bit where somebody said they were real skeptic of Christianity until they realized they took the Bible as God's Word and realized all in the Old Testament that was fulfilled in the New Testament. And much of that was through the life of Christ as he was here on earth. These things that were said hundreds and thousands of years before that God fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came and fulfilled that scripture, that all the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, it is finished. When he had received that vinegar, he gave up the ghost. Look at verse number 24. They said, therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So they parted my raiment among them, and my vesture, they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. We read verse number 28. Go to verse number 36. For these things were done. This is as Jesus gave up the ghost there, and they tried to break his legs, but they didn't need to because he's already dead. Verse 36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him should not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look in him whom they pierced. Even after he physically died, he did that on purpose. He died before they had to break any of his bones to fulfill scripture. That's what he did. And so as this scripture was given in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ fulfilled it in the New Testament. He knew all things were now accomplished. Jesus understood that. And so when those things were accomplished that God had said was going to happen, then Jesus was able to give up the ghost. So he knew the scriptures must be fulfilled as he was on the cross. So we're talking about seconds from dying. He had in his mind, I've got to make sure everything's accomplished. And it all was. It all was accomplished as he gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. We couldn't take his life from him. He had to give that up himself, and he did. Then go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Jesus, before he ever went to the cross, and we talked about this over the last few weeks, Luke chapter 24, and you can go to verse number 44. Jesus, before he ever went on the cross, before he ever really went to Gethsemane, before he, even as he was talking to his disciples, he told them, listen, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be crucified. And then come back the third day. And the Bible says then they just didn't understand that, right? They didn't understand that. We mentioned Mary, I think, a couple weeks ago, or maybe Sunday night, and we talked about her, and she seemed to have a greater understanding than the rest of than the apostles did. As she anointed him for the burial, she seemed to know a little bit better what was coming, but his disciples really didn't understand. They didn't understand what was coming. And as Jesus said, these scriptures must be fulfilled. He said, this is what I have to go through. Obviously, if they'd understood, then Peter would not have jumped up and tried to protect him. And the disciples would not have fled when Jesus needed their support. They could have been there with him and helped him. And so they wouldn't have done those things if they understood. And so Jesus has gone through all those things, and the scriptures have been fulfilled. And now Jesus has gone through the crucifixion, his burial, and then his resurrection. And we have in Luke 24 where Jesus appears to his disciples after he's resurrected. So this is past next Sunday, past Easter. And now Jesus resurrected, and he, look at verse number 44. He appears to them in this room as they're there, and they're scared to death at first, but then he begins to talk and eat with them and all that. Verse number 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus appeared to his disciples. He said, listen, here's what I was trying to explain to you. Everything in the Old Testament had to be fulfilled. You know the way that those apostles could have understood what was going to happen to Jesus? was to go instead of the Old Testament. That's all they had to do. Now, the Pharisees did that, right? But they studied that Old Testament not thinking Jesus was the one that had come, the Messiah. Those scribes and Pharisees, in fact, you go all the way back to Matthew chapter 2. And when the wise men came, they went to those scribes, right? And those scribes researched the Old Testament. And they found in researching the Old Testament that the Christ child, the Messiah, was going to be born in Bethlehem, right? They discovered that was fulfillment of Scripture. And so they knew the Scripture, they just didn't know God. These apostles knew God, they didn't know the Scripture like they should have. And so Jesus said, I told you these things, this Scripture must be fulfilled. What was written in the law of Moses, that includes the first five books of the Bible, that law, the prophets, all those who wrote, and the Psalms, he's talking about the Psalms, the whole Old Testament. All of that pointed to who? It pointed to Jesus Christ. That's what all of it did. So you go to the Old Testament, and if they had understood, and even those that wrote in the Old Testament, I don't know how much Isaiah understood of what he was writing, or David in the Psalms understood what he was writing, but all that was written pointed to Jesus Christ. In fact, if you get in the Word of God, if you'll be really honest about it, boy, it's hard to get in the Word of God and not see Jesus in every chapter, in every book, as you read through that in the Old Testament. And what a testament is that it pointed us and it pointed them to Jesus Christ. That's what it did. And Jesus said, I fulfilled Scripture. That Scripture concerned me. And as we understand that and see what God did in the Word of God, that it centered around Jesus Christ, he said all things must be fulfilled. Look at verse number 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That been a man, to have Jesus open your understanding. And Jesus sat before them and he opened up the Scriptures and he began to, now again, what Scriptures did they have? They just had the Old Testament, that's all they had. And so he opened that up to them and said, let me show you what the Bible says about me in Moses in the law. Let me show you in the prophets what it says about me. Let me show you in the Psalms what it says about me. And he began to explain to them. In verse number 46, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He says, listen, this is what had to happen. Hey, let me tell you this, apostles, as you're gathered here around me, I had to die. That's what had to happen. Hey, that's what the Old Testament had pointed to. That's what the redemption plan that was started before the world ever began and was first verbalized in Genesis 3:15 when that seed was going to come through Eve, that whole plan of redemption and remission of sins, that from the Old Testament forward, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All of it was taken care of. This morning, I'm saved on the way to heaven, redeemed because of Jesus Christ because he fulfilled everything the Old Testament said was going to happen. So I don't have to worry about going to hell this morning because of what Jesus Christ did for me in fulfilling that Scripture. And he shows that to his disciples. And this is what I had to do. In verse number 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. He says, you got to witness the fulfillment of the Old Testament. I wonder why those disciples went out in the book of Acts and tried to win the world to Christ. Maybe it's because they were witnesses of what Jesus Christ did. And they got to see that fulfillment. We get to read about it. And we get to think in the past of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Enjoy that. These disciples got to witness it. And Jesus said, hey, I knew the Scripture must be fulfilled. On the cross, I knew it had to be accomplished. And now he explains to them, hey, let me help you understand this. So look what they do. And boy, this should be true for us. And we don't probably don't go to this verse enough. Go to the last verse in the book of Luke. Says they, in verse, well, last two verses, they worshiped him, verse 52, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You know, if Jesus wasn't real, why in the world, if he had been a fake, if he had been a phony, if he hadn't been, then why would his disciples be in the temple praising God every day, day after day after day after day? Why? Because they got to witness the fulfillment of Scripture. I mean, they were continually in the temple. And you know what we've gotten to see in our lifetime? We've gotten to see God fulfill what he said he's going to do. And we get to see that in the past. We also get to see the present. And by the way, let me tell you this. You know what's going to happen in the future? Exactly what the Scriptures say is going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Because the Scriptures must be fulfilled. You say, why in the world is the world going to have to go through a tribulation of 7 years? I can tell you why. Because the scripture must be fulfilled. That's why. Hey, why is it that people go to hell? I mean, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Does he? No, the reason people go to hell is because the scripture must be fulfilled. It says the wrath, those that have not believed, the wrath of God abideth on them. It tells in Revelation, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. You know why that's going to happen? Because the scripture says it will. Because the scripture must be fulfilled. Hey, that's why it's so important for us to take the word of God to others, to share the gospel with them so that they can be saved. Well, how come it seems like, you know, if I make wrong decisions that I reap bad consequences? You know why? Because the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that should also reap, and the scripture must be fulfilled. That's why. Hey, how come this is happening? You know what? Because the scripture must be fulfilled. What the word of God says will happen, will happen. What the word of God says in the past, and we look at that, and Jesus fulfilled all that on the cross through the crucifixion and through the resurrection. He fulfilled all those things. And just as much as those things were fulfilled, we look to the future, we look to the present, and what God's word said is going to happen. We look to the future. Hey, Jesus is coming back one day. You know why? Because the scripture must be fulfilled. That's why. And Jesus understood that. And he understood that before he went to the cross. He understood it while he was on the cross. And he understood it after he had resurrected from the dead. And he explained that to his disciples. And his disciples went out with joy and rejoicing and excited because all the scripture must be fulfilled. And today we should leave the house of God excited because you know this, the scripture must be fulfilled. It's always been fulfilled. Jesus took care of that on the cross for us, and it will always be fulfilled. The scripture that God has given us, the word of God, you can take that with you today and understand everything in it will happen. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to really believe the scriptures. Lord, if we believe the scriptures this morning, then if we're not saved and we really believe what the word of God says, then we'll come forward this morning and get saved. And Lord, we know this, you don't want anybody to go to hell. It's not your will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And yet there will be some, many unfortunately, multitudes that spend eternity in hell. And Lord, only us, they haven't chosen you because the scripture must be fulfilled. Lord, they have a choice. But they choose to go against you. And they choose not to trust you as Savior, Lord. It's what they do with Jesus is what's going to determine their destiny. And Lord, that's not true because I say it, Lord. It's true because the scripture must be fulfilled. Lord, there's those this morning that are here and know this. They'll spend eternity in heaven because they trusted you as their Savior. And you told us, Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the scripture must be fulfilled. Lord, as we deal with different areas of our life this week, and we make decisions, help us understand the scripture must be fulfilled. Jesus was never limited, Lord. He was God. Lord, he could do anything he wanted to, but as we see even in these passages this morning, Jesus limited himself because he was not going to do anything outside of the scripture. And the scripture must be fulfilled, Lord. Instead of calling down angels, he went to the cross. Lord, instead of doing what he wanted to, Lord, he took on that punishment and that sin for us. Lord, we're so thankful that, as we read at the beginning, Lord, that Jesus Christ didn't destroy the law. Lord, he didn't take the law and break it. No, he fulfilled it. And Lord, help us to realize what's going to happen. Because of Scripture, you've given us the Word of God, a plan for life. And Lord, help us to use it. Help us to realize what you're going to do in our lives. You will fulfill your word. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, what a great, great promise from you. And help us to understand that and live our lives accordingly, trusting in the word of God. In Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around this morning, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? We talk about this. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and that's true. The only way we know we're going to heaven is because the scripture says we are. That's why. Hey, because God's word says we are. And so God's word will be fulfilled. And so we'll spend eternity in heaven if we trust in Christ as Savior because that's what the word of God says. you're here this morning and you say, I know the truth of the Word of God because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know for sure right now, if I was to die today, I know for sure I'd wake up in heaven. If you can say it, just put your hand up. Just like I am saying, I know for sure I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. Let me ask you this morning. Say, well, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I've ever trusted Christ as Savior. Listen, again, as we talked about, it's not important what I say. What's important is what the Scripture says, because what the Bible says will be fulfilled. And the Bible tells us that those who reject Christ spend eternity in hell forever. You hear this morning say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not embarrassed you at all. But say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Just put your hand up. You can do that for me. Just say, let's pray for me. Nobody's looking around and say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Hey, aren't we glad this morning the Scriptures are fulfilled, right? Jesus Christ came and fulfilled those. And then we have something to look forward to. But just remember that the truths of the Bible, the promises of the Bible will be fulfilled. Sometimes that's great, but then sometimes we're not following them. You understand what's coming. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. The Scriptures must be fulfilled. As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward. Back in here tonight, so don't forget missionary with us tonight, 6 o'clock, and excited about having them come in, and choir practice at 5:30, those that have that, so don't forget that as well, and have a great week. We'll here at church, we'll be in the office some, not all the time, but being here a little bit, but enjoy this week, and of course got Easter Sunday, so make sure be here next Sunday, and bring somebody with you when you come in. Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we go out from here. Give us, Lord, just a great week, and Lord, so wonderful, what a wonderful time of year, Lord. It's Easter season, and to celebrate what you've done for us. And Lord, help us to never, ever get over that, and to share that with those we come in contact with all the time, Lord, every chance we get. And Lord, help us have a great service. Looking forward to next Sunday. And Lord, every service, excited to meet. Lord, especially next week, Lord, I pray that there's those that are unsaved that come in. Maybe they aren't here on a regular basis. Lord, you just help them to see their need for you and to see you work in this place and see folks saved and baptized. And Lord, excited about what you're doing here. Bless us. Give us a great rest of the day. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.